That's Modern Girl from Slater Kinney. Critic Greil Marcus once called that Northwest band the best in America. Guitarist Carrie Brownstein is one-third of the group. And with Fred Armisen, Carrie Brownstein created the satirical TV show Portlandia. In her new memoir, Hunger Makes Me a Modern Girl, Brownstein describes growing up in the Northwest. She writes that as a kid, she was a huge music fan. And to be a music fan, you have to be a fan of cities. Carrie Brownstein was a fan of Olympia, Washington.
Well, when I was in high school in the suburbs of Seattle, a friend of mine told me about a scene in Olympia. There were a handful of record labels at the time, namely K and Kill Rock Stars. And there had been a festival, the International Underground Pop Festival, I believe. And all these bands had played, Bikini Kill, Bratmobile, Heavens to Betsy, and Unwound and Carp and Some Velvet Sidewalk. And I was so excited about this amalgamation of bands with very interesting lineups, you know, two-person bands, no bass. Some bands had double drummers. Some bands had only, you know, two bassists and no guitars. You know, just these sort of cobbled together, these very strange permutations of what it meant to be in a band, very non-traditional. It just felt like this very lively scene. And I liked just how fertile it sounded. And then, you know, part of those bands, some of those bands were singing from the female perspective, these very unapologetic narratives that I had never heard before. And that in my young inarticulate self had not been able to sort of explain in the way that I'd hoped to explain my own set of circumstances. So for the first time, I really heard those spelled out for me. And that form of recognition is so crucial. And so I really looked to Olympia as somewhere I wanted to end up. And I did head down there to go to the Evergreen State College.
Did it live up to your expectations?
Certainly. I mean, you know, I was 18 years old, and it's pretty easy to live up to expectations when you've never left home and you venture out for the first time. But it also really was, at the time, a very vibrant music and art scene. There were so many labels, more than the ones I already mentioned. There were so many bands. There were so many venues. There were recording studios. The infrastructure was in place. And so you could form a band on a Monday, practice on Tuesday, maybe write a song. By Thursday, you could play a show, and then you could record a 7-inch over the weekend. I mean, it really, you know, it was like this vertical integration. Everything was just there under one roof. And so the means of production were very much available, and it was very exciting, you know, and it really was as much my education as my formal college years were.
And it sounds as though there was an entire shared aesthetic of what music should sound like and what politics should be like and what it was like to be a woman performing in music.
Well, certainly in terms of politics, I mean, I think, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s, Indian punk rock, both, you know, which, and those were much more definitive genres at that point. I mean, the idea of genre was still very much in place, but there was certainly an ideology that was anti-corporate, anti-commercial, you know, sort of eschewing materialism and, you know, to sort of embrace or, you know, the commodification of your band or music was at the expense of your ethics. Those were a pretty hard line. There was sort of a Rubicon that you could not really cross without experiencing, you know, a little bit of a backlash or worse, you know, outright rejection from fans. It was a much different time. That was, you know, we definitely existed sort of outside of the mainstream, kind of purposely, although Slater Kinney, as I talk about in the book, was a band that wanted to be heard. You know, we had a set of ambitions, and at some time, sometimes they felt anathema to those politics from which we came. But we wanted people to hear our music in parts of the country that didn't have these insular scenes where they might hear about our band. So, you know, we went out and tried to get heard.
The insularity was both supportive, but also, as you just kind of alluded to, it was kind of judgy. You talk about bands coming to town that would, for some reason or another, would not be accepted because of some reason that they stepped over some line.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes those lines felt arbitrary. You know, there's the sort of a sense of inclusion that's professed, but then many people felt alienated by the exclusivity, you know, that there was an elitism and that those codified rules were hard to assess and figure out. It, you know, it felt treacherous because, you know, some of them were contradictory. I think a lot of people came into a place like Olympia admiring like I was and then were kind of taken aback by something that felt pretentious because it was alienating and kind of hard to follow.
Just up the road was Seattle, and things were busting out here with Nirvana and then tons of bands moving here. What was the comparison you would place between the two different music scenes?
Well, definitely, you know, as there was kind of a bidding war for the wake of bands that followed Nirvana, I think Olympia kind of dug its heels in, and you know, there was a media blackout for a lot of the bands, particularly bands associated with Riot Girl, and that was because they were it was a movement very mischaracterized, very much watered down in the mainstream press, and I think, but the bands kind of dug in a way and thought, well, we will not be the bands that are kind of going for the brass ring or, you know, associating ourselves with the mainstream. And I think that was for better or worse. You know, I mean, a lot of people that declare they never want to be part of the mainstream, it's because they're never going to be, you know, they're never going to be given the opportunity. Their music is too angular, too obtuse, too, you know, weird. I think a lot of people, it's easy to say that when, you know, when you're making really avant-garde art rock with screaming over loud guitars. Sure, you're not going for the mainstream. But yeah, so I think Olympia kind of set itself up in a slight opposition to what it perceived as the, you know, the ambitions of some of the Seattle bands at the time. And, you know, this is a simplification of it. I think within each scene, there was a lot of nuance and there was a lot of kinship. But certainly Seattle was focused on as sort of the next breeding ground for the next big thing.
Carrie Brownstein is talking to us about her memoir, Hunger Makes Me a Modern Girl. You moved to Portland in part because your bandmates in Sleater-Kinney, Corin Tucker and Janet Weiss lived there. And you describe an unwavering optimism embodied in both Seattle and Portland. And then you add on to that, Portland to me is the embodiment of a shrug. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think Portland is a little bit of an aw shucks city. You know, just kind of a diffidence, but that also has like a little bit of a hint at confidence, I suppose. You know, it's not a city that's broadcasting itself through a megaphone that in the way that, you know, sort of other cities are sort of unabashedly doing that. I think it's, you know, it never feels as determined. There's kind of a pride, I think, taken in the ease at which it appears that we're all living, which is not necessarily true. I think people do kind of work hard there. But yeah, there's a little bit of a shrug, I think, to the Pacific Northwestern mindset, you know, that just has to do with an exaltation of the casual, an exaltation of, you know, a quality of life that isn't about like working until you collapse. That leisure is part of what we consider important.
I find it so interesting that you came out of a very serious music scene in Olympia, and Sleater-Kinney is a pretty serious political band with a very tough sound, And now you and Fred Armisen are putting together one of the silliest, goofiest shows on TV that really mocks seriousness. How did that happen?
Well, I mean, to me, the common through line has been writing. And I think through writing, it's storytelling and observation. And I think of an interest in communication and discourse, in the ways people present selfhood, the ways people perform at couplehood, people's relationship to where they live, how they live, why they live. Slater Kinney was very much about that. And Portlandia is also about that. But the vernacular is different. It's absurdity. It's surreality. But it still, I think, is a conversation. And it is still an entity, I think, that is relatable for people, that because it's not mean-spirited, because we see ourselves in the narrative and in the characters, I think there's also a kindness to it and a self-reflection. And so to me, they are not that different, even though I know how they manifest themselves are very different.
Musician and actor Carrie Brownstein of Slater Kinney and Portlandia. Her new memoir, Hunger, Makes Me a Modern Girl. Tonight, Carrie Brownstein will be in conversation with novelist Maria Semple at the Neptune Theater in Seattle. This is Slater Kinney's No Cities to Love from the album of the same name.